John chapter 4, please, in your Bibles, John chapter 4. Living water for the dying soul is what I've entitled this message. Satisfaction for the dying soul. Have you ever heard anybody say, in response to having received a meal or dessert or something like that, where they say, "Is that all? Isn't there anything else?" Ever heard that when you took your kids somewhere? They have this real build-up to what's going to happen, and maybe take them to a fireworks, and one goes up and plink. Is that all? Many find life the same way. They've tried everything. And they ask, is that it? They've built themselves up to the next income bracket. Is that all? What they thought would satisfy when they got there gave no satisfaction. Life is a search for satisfaction. Everyone's looking for fulfillment, contentment, joy. That's what they spend their life doing. Trying to find something that will satisfy once and for all. This last week I heard that now there's this drug that's 1,000 or so times more powerful than heroin that people are experimenting with. You know, the marijuana in Colorado is not enough. You've got to go up to the drugs that are a little bit heavier. You've got to get to heroin, and now that's not enough. And what that tells us, folks, is that people are on a search for satisfaction or trying to find contentment. They're trying to find purpose and fulfillment somehow. It's like being thirsty. Have you ever really been thirsty? I mean, real thirsty? Where you could not get to water? You've probably read stories of somebody stranded at sea, surrounded by water. And yet because that is salt water, they can't drink it and they're thirsting. Maybe they've got a little bit of water left in their canteen and they can drink that, but when that's gone, they're going to thirst again. Maybe you've heard the name of Louis Zamperini, a man at the beginning of World War II, who, with his fellow men, were on this bomber, and we're in the Pacific. And the bomber had problems and they crashed into the ocean, and the guys who survived, three of them, found a raft and floated on that raft on the Pacific Ocean for 47 days. 47 days of trying to find food, but most of all, thirsting. They were rescued by the Japanese and became POWs. But he recounts the story of thirsting. I remember as a kid reading a book about a man who in a communist country was put into prison for his faith in Christ, and they would not give him water for literally days. And the communists didn't think that a man could live that many days. I think it was 7 days without water. And then they had him stand up against the wall and stare at a white wall for a day or two. Just staring at it, and if he flinched or moved at all, they would whip him. So thirsty. And he describes in his book how when he was freed from prison and came to the United States, how that whenever he read about somebody who was thirsting on the ocean like Louis Zamperini, he would go into the kitchen and he would just start drinking water and keep drinking water and keep drinking water, because he recounted his almost dying without water. Water is a precious commodity. Water is necessary for life. But it's a precious commodity, especially in a desert, or here in a semi-arid desert like what we live in here. Flowing just right over here is a little creek called Sheep Draw. Sheep draw was named that, I did some research on this, in 1895 by Eugene M. Howard and Ludie Warner. That's where that little creek got its name. A draw is a natural depression that water drains into. It's a shallow gully, and in that gully runs water. In this semi-arid desert, sheep probably were drawn to this water because of thirst, and thus the name sheep draw. I remember before we built the building here that I had toyed with changing the name of Westside Baptist Church to Sheep Draw Baptist Church. And there's significance to that name because the Bible refers to people as sheep. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And the Bible says that Jesus will draw sheep to himself. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Sheep draw. My prayer today is that people will be drawn to a place where they will hear the unadulterated word of God. The truth of God's word. A place to which sheep can be drawn because of spiritual thirst, where the preaching of God's word will quench, satisfy the spiritual thirst of everyone who is here. Water. Even saying the name right now wants me to take a drink. In fact, Brother Herget, would you mind going and getting me a glass of water? That way, throughout this message, as I take a sip and I drink, nobody else can get up and leave, please. There goes Summer. She's taking a sip right now. Some bring their water in here. But my throat is getting dry even as I speak about this. Water is a necessity. You've got to have it. It is necessary for sustaining life. You must have it. Without it, there's certain death. And here in John chapter 4, Jesus knows there's a thirsty soul. There's a thirsty soul in Samaria. He's in Judea. He's in Jerusalem. And he has to go back up to Galilee. And it says in John chapter 4, look at it please, in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. I say again, he knows there's a thirsty soul. There's someone who is thirsting spiritually in Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. A woman who comes every day here in this chapter to satisfy her physical thirst. But Jesus points out to her that her problem is a spiritual thirsting. She is spiritually thirsty. And he knows that. And so he takes a route that no other Jew would take because the Samaritans were this people that you have nothing to do with. They're the offscouring. They're the half-breeds. They're half-Jew, half-Gentile. And a Jew would have nothing to do with them. But Jesus must needs go through Samaria because he knows there's somebody thirsting there. And there's people here this morning thirsting, trying to find satisfaction in a job. That's going to be a fulfillment. You know, we go from one job to the next thinking, well, this one's going to do it. Maybe now I'll really be satisfied. Or they get married and they think, well, this is what's finally the answer. And they go to all kinds of things trying to find satisfaction. And then they thirst again. Here in John chapter 4, let's read beginning with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'm going to end our reading right there for a moment. Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, and I never have to come back to this well to ever draw again. I want you to see in verse 13 the counterfeit to living water. Jesus says that whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Man is seeking the fountain of youth, something that satisfies permanently. You go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and there you see man's quest for the counterfeit to living water. If you've ever read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, you'll note that Solomon gives a list of all the things he tried to satisfy, and he came to the end of it and he said, this is all vanity. And he says in chapter 6 and verse 7 of Ecclesiastes, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. We're looking forward to a wonderful dinner today. And you're looking forward to it. But you know what? After you eat dinner, what are you all going to be doing this evening? You're going to be eating again. And what are you going to do tomorrow morning? Help me out here. You're going to eat again. What are you going to do tomorrow at noon? And what are you going to do tomorrow night? And so it's going to go all week long. We say that a man has thirst for power, a thirst for money, a thirst for pleasure, a thirst for popularity. Nothing satisfies. Dr. Walter Wilson, back in the early 1900s, met a couple on the train. Their baggage was covered with stickers. He got to talking with them and found out that they had traveled the world 7 times. And they were going home to get more money to continue traveling more. And he asked them this question, will you ever be satisfied with what you see, with what you have seen in travel? And they answered him, I think not. He said, then why don't you go to the one who does satisfy? And he began to witness to him and give him the gospel. Why don't you go to the one who really will satisfy? People try out this religion and that religion and this religion and that. They try out Catholicism and they try out Methodism and they try out Presbyterianism. And they try out Islam. And they try out Hinduism, Buddhism, and they never come to the one who really satisfies. And that's why you've got all these religions that do not satisfy. And then one day they come to Jesus Christ. And they find true satisfaction. People are constantly coming to this well, like this lady had to do every day. And today people are constantly coming to the well like she would. They think that they'll finally find it in sensual pleasure, or in alcohol, or in drugs, only to thirst again. And so they have this false hope that something one day is going to satisfy. They try the well of good works. And that well of good works does feel good for a little while. Somebody honors them and they feel good about what they've done. But they're going to thirst again. So they go to the well of baptism, or they go to the well of the sacraments, or they go to the well of religion, giving to charity, and nothing satisfies. So long as man keeps trying, he's going to thirst again. So he goes to a church focused on experiences, excitement. And a few days later, he's thirsting again. There's a lot of water today being promoted as living water. But I'm telling you, it's counterfeit. To get people, instead of presenting Jesus Christ in his purity and in his holiness, pastors will dilute the gospel to make it more palatable and to get people to come in. Don't preach against sin. And when you don't preach against sin, mix in a little bit of entertainment and some foot-stomping music, and that'll get the people to come in, only to thirst again. And people struggle to come to God on their own terms by going their own way. People of Israel, Jeremiah the prophet had to preach against, because he said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Here's this fountain. Would you rather drink at this fountain, or would you rather go to this cistern that's held this water for 5 months? I mean, if I were to have you come up and say, "Okay, here's this water, this fountain, this water is bubbling over. Would you rather have this, or would you rather have this water that's in this cistern?" Every one of you would go to this fountain of living water. The word living here means springing up. And you know what you do spiritually? You come over here. You build yourself a cistern. Right here is this fountain with bursting pure water. And you go in your life and in your spirituality, and you think you're going to find satisfaction by coming to this cistern. My wife's father, Jackie Campbell, when he was a kid, maybe a teenager, went outside to draw water from the well on the farm. And he looked in there as a dead rat floating around in the water. Needless to say, he didn't drink that water. And when I met him, he was always drinking some kind of a Diet Coke. I said, "Here, why don't you drink some water?" And he told me that story. He could no longer drink water. It was so repulsive to him. And that's what people attempt to do. They go to a cistern where the dead rats are in it. And they think they're going to find satisfaction in that? Incredible. People who have access to a fountain spewing forth pure water instead drink murky, stagnant water. And the root of abandoning this kind of water for this kind of water is unbelief. This woman here in John chapter 4 sought satisfaction in what many call love. How do I know that? Let's keep reading. I ended in verse 15. After the woman says in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." Here's a woman who thought that she would find satisfaction in marriage or prostitution. The counterfeit. Everything else is a counterfeit. Everything else is fake. Everything else will not satisfy. That's in verse 13, but in verse 14, Jesus gives us the character of living water. How do you recognize water that is living? What are its characteristics? Three things in verse 14. Number one, its source. Notice it's only through Jesus Christ, because he says in verse 14 that I shall give. That I shall give. The only water, the only thing that will ever satisfy you is the water that Jesus Christ gives. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One. the water that I shall give. You have to have the right source. Not some religion, not some work, not some pleasure, not some other person, but Jesus Christ. Anything else and everyone else will never satisfy. So the character of this living water, you have to know it by its source. Number two, by its satisfaction. Jesus says in the very first words there, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh. In the original language, that's in the past tense, or the aorist tense, which means it communicates this. Whosoever takes a drink of this one time. Just drink one time. One time. What if I could give you a glass of water? And I were to say to you, one drink and never again will you ever have to take a drink. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Whosoever drinketh, whosoever drinks of this water, aorist tense, take this one time. And what's the promise if you drink it one time? You'll never thirst again. That's its satisfaction. And then you read on in the verse, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The word never is a double negative. Folks here at Westside, you know how you translate that. How do you translate a double negative? Let me read it and then you help me when we get there. Okay? But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him, ain't no way he will ever thirst again. There's no way he will ever thirst again. Never, ever. And that's the same construction used by Jesus denoting the permanence of salvation in chapter 8 of John and verse 51. Shall never see death to the one who believes on him. Chapter 8 verse 52. Shall never taste of death. Chapter 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Chapter 11 and verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Double negatives, all of them. There's the promise. It is satisfying. And this woman that Jesus is talking to had tried everything. Even immorality. Which is what so many people turn to today. The character of this living water, its source, its satisfaction, and thirdly, its springing. It's springing. A fountain of water leaping up into life everlasting is a literal translation. This water is leaping. It's the same word used to describe the action of the man, the healed lame man in Acts 3 verse 8, where after Peter and John looked on him and said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have in the name of Jesus Christ we give you. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man, the Bible says, leaped up. That's what this water is doing. Leaping up, dancing, jumping water. And it depicts the joy of salvation. Real excitement. Not that of a stale water from a deep pit. And the Lord Jesus says in this verse, shall be in him a well of water. Shall be in him. A reference to the Holy Spirit, if you look at chapter 7 and verses 38 and 39. The well is no longer something I have to go to. It is something that is within me. And it is a fountain. It's a spring. Now, you who have been saved for any length of time, let me ask you something. If that water is truly within you, that well of water that is leaping up, that Jesus said it will be in you, then why do you keep trying to satisfaction in those things that could not satisfy before salvation? Why do you go back? There's the character of living water, its source, its satisfaction. It's springing. Then we have in verse 15, the craving for living water. The woman says to Jesus, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus had used this well of water as an illustration to cause this woman to see her need spiritually. She's thirsty, physically. Today she comes to this well. Tomorrow she'll come back. The next day she'll come back. I once watched a documentary on animals on the African continent before a rainy season. And you know, if you've ever watched these documentaries where the water just starts drying up until you just have this pit of murky water and crocodiles in this water. And they show where these beasts come to this water wanting to drink, knowing the danger of the crocodile lurking in that water. And yet, in spite of the danger, the draw to that water because of their thirst is so powerful that in spite of the danger, they will lean into the water just to get some satisfaction, even in the face of death. And as I think of that, I think of what people do today to try to find satisfaction in this life somehow. They will go through, they'll endanger their lives. I think back to the drugs. Just to find some kind of satisfaction. And it illustrates what people will go through today, even endangering themselves to find purpose, relevance, fulfillment. I'm talking to someone here this morning who has a craving, a thirst, and you've tried everything, and you don't know where to go, and you're at your wit's end. You have this craving for living water. But that brings us to the next point. How much does it cost? Boy, if I could just get some living. You know what? I would pay anything for some water that would satisfy once and for all. I would give anything. So that brings us to the cost. And Jesus talked about it in verse 10. First, one of the first things he said to this woman, if thou knewest the, out loud please, gift, the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have, next word, asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you would only ask of him that has it to give, you would have this. Ask for it. He will give it to you. Folks, beware of any man or religion that says eternal life is something you must work for. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of any church that says you have to partake of the mass or you have to do this or that in order to get eternal life. It's a lie of the devil. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Woman, thou knewest the gift of God. And who it is that's talking to you right now? You would just ask of him. He would have given thee living water. And later on in this chapter, she said, thou art the Messiah. She knows who he is. And you find a conversion story in this chapter that is so beautiful, but so challenging to you. She came to know him. This is the anointed one. He's the promised one. She went back into the city and she told everybody, come and see a man who told me everything ever I did. And the whole city came out. And many of them were saved. And then they later on said, yeah, we're saved now, not because of you anymore, lady. We're saved because we've met him personally. He's the one who has it to give. The cost of living water is that you simply accept and receive what he's giving. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. That word believe has to do with faith. Faith and repentance, turning from my sin and trusting Jesus Christ. Not depending on myself anymore, but trusting and putting my dependence upon Jesus Christ. In John 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, that partaking of the living water, Jesus makes very clear there, is believing in me. Believing in Jesus Christ and coming to him. Not coming to this church, not somebody's philosophy, but coming to a person, Jesus Christ. Here's how the book of Revelation closes. Here's how the last book of the Bible closes. "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." It's free. In Revelation 22, verse 17, "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life." How much does it cost? Freely. Let him take freely. There was a man, a missionary by the name of J.B. Williams, a man I knew years ago. He, his water, and his daughter were missionaries to West Africa in 1946, and he was trying to learn the language of the Bariba tribe. He was teaching a Bible class one day, and he handed a notebook to one of the boys he was teaching. And after that boy took the notebook from him, one of the other boys came up to him and slapped him upside the head. Not J.B. Williams, but the other boy. And after class, Dr. Williams asked that boy, "Why did he do that? Why did you slap your friend upside the head?" And the older boy said, "Because he did a very impolite thing." "Well, what did he do?" "Well, Dr. Williams, he took the book from you with one hand. That is very impolite. He should have taken it with two hands." And Dr. Williams was stunned. And he writes, "Why two?" Here's what the boy said. "When we receive something from another, and we know it's without cost, and nothing's expected of us for it, we receive it with two hands. Likewise, when we give something to someone with two hands, we do not expect anything for it. Therefore, it is accepted with both hands." Dr. Williams got excited. He called the class back together. "You boys, get back in here." And he explained, "This is the grace of Jesus Christ." And from then on, the boys would teach each other, "Take Yesu, take Jesus with both hands, because God gives salvation with both hands. You don't earn it, you can't buy it, and there will never be any expected payment for it." There's someone here today who's been trying to accept Jesus with one hand. You've been trying to find satisfaction by sticking out one hand. No, it's both hands. This is free. Because God is giving it with both hands. For us to simply accept it. This is a day to declare the philosophy of Westside Baptist Church. This is not a place to solve social ills. This is not a band-aid station to attempt to provide people with housing or food or clothing. That's not your problem. The problem is trying to solve your life's problems in an unbiblical way, and that's why you're in the mess you're in. That may sound harsh, but it's most compassionate. You need to be introduced to the Jesus of the Bible, who exposes people's sin through his word and then says, "Now here's some water. Take it with both hands, because I'm giving it to you with both hands." Here in this chapter, Jesus confronted a woman who had an empty water pot. She came to the well. You'll find in reading this chapter that never did Jesus draw water for her, and never did she draw water for him. In fact, you get down, I forget what verse it is. Yeah, it's verse 28. You know what the woman does with her water pot? What does it say in verse 28? She left it. She came to this well to get water, and she leaves it behind. That is a true picture of repentance. You come with your own water pot, I am going to somehow take care of this, and you leave without it. But you leave with the Lord Jesus Christ.